Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I don't want to freak out. I don't want to get nuts. But we're 2 hours into NFL free agency, and the Giants and the Jets have done absolutely nothing. What the hell is going on? We'll keep you posted throughout the day, the beginning of the legal tampering period in the NFL. Also, there is a baseball cloud hovering on top of all of us, and that is the fact that Gerrit Cole is getting an MRI. What will it tell us? What does it mean? What the hell's going to happen to the Yankees? We'll discuss it throughout the show. But as of right now, at 2:02 p.m. Eastern time, the Jets have done nothing, the Giants have done nothing, but Saquon Barkley is still not a former New York Giant. But Tiki, it feels like at any moment he will be.
I think we spoke it into existence, excoriating him last week, because it feels like he's heading to the Philadelphia Eagles. Not reporting that at all, obviously, but Howard Eskin said it last week, which caused us to react. Over the weekend, all of the beat reporters down in Philly, they keep talking about it. This morning, I wake up, and all anybody wants to text me is, he's going to Philly. And it seems like it might be a foregone conclusion that the Giants are not going to be in on Saquon Barkley. Now, something could happen last minute, change of heart, unexpected restructure, get some more money so you have even more under the cap to sign a Saquon Barkley. But it feels like the Giant priorities are not on their best skill position player over the last 4 or 5 years in Saquon Barkley. Yeah, we know the injuries and all those other things, those opinions, but losing a guy like Saquon is a big deal if it should happen, because of the culture that he helped build with Brian Daboll, because of the success that he had in Dabes' first year, because of the leadership that he brings, and really the explosive ability, his game-making ability, which they don't have a ton of on the Giants roster right now. So It's disappointing feeling, even though it actually hasn't happened yet.
But it's going to happen.
It feels like it's going to happen.
The only thing that could be happening right now, because we are 2 hours in NFL free agency,
yes,
and we've already seen a handful of moves. We've seen Tony Pollard leave the Dallas Cowboys and sign with the Tennessee Titans. We've seen DeAndre Swift leave the Philadelphia Eagles and sign with the Chicago Bears. And those are just examples of running backs.
Right.
But we've seen a good handful of moves in the first 2 hours. What could be going on right now is that Saquon Barkley is hoping.
Yes.
He is hoping that offer he gets from Philadelphia or that offer he gets from Houston, he can take back, if you believe him at his word, that he wants to be a Giant and wants to retire as a Giant, that he's going to take back that offer from Philly or Houston to Joe Shane and maybe even above him, the way Aaron Judge did. I mean, Aaron Judge didn't go back to Brian Cashman. He went to John Mara.
Yes.
Now, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just comparing the situation. That the hope could be he goes back to the Giants with this one last stitch. Hey, if you guys can hit that, I'll stay with the Giants.
Yeah.
But to me, there's no chance of any of that happening.
No, it doesn't feel like that's the priority for the Giants right now. And you're right, Ev. We know that the free agency in football happens quick, right? It's not, hey, let's just wait. We'll wait this thing. It's not baseball free agency that takes months. The big names will get done within the first day. You just, even though this is not technically the free agent period, it's the legal tampering period, but all of the big names get done relatively quickly, unless what you're suggesting is true, that there is a negotiation back and forth between Saquon's agent and the Giants, Joe Shane, but also the Texans are probably involved in this conversation, as are the Eagles. Those are reported to be the two front runners, by the way, the Texans and the Eagles. The Giants are not in this race, supposedly, but perhaps it's taking some time because they're moving back and forth, these conversations with the Giants. By the way, the two other running backs that signed, DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard, those happened really good, really quick. Josh Jacobs just signed. This is breaking news. Just signed with the Green Bay Packers. So you know that the running backs are trying to get done quickly before the money evaporates. And just like Sean said a week and a half ago, maybe it was whatever it was, the numbers are coming in a lot lower than the franchise tag that Saquon played on last year.
I've just been stabbed in the heart. Because
Why?
We do have breaking news. The Philadelphia Eagles have stolen a player from a New York football team, but it ain't the guy you're thinking about.
Who is it?
Bryce Huff, who last season for the New York Jets sacked the quarterback 10.5 times. That doesn't happen in Jet history. We don't have guys who get to the quarterback. Bryce Huff, who was undrafted. Bryce Huff, who over the last 4 years has developed into a guy that was set to get his big payday this year, has gotten his payday. Did it come from Joe Douglas, who's dwindling his little thumbs, doing nothing? No. It came from the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's your first piece of in-show breaking news. Play the stupid glass, because it's really my head bang through the glass.
Do you want the money, Ev?
Yeah, yes. Why not? Tell me the money.
3 years, $51.1 million for Bryce Huff.
No, that's a lot of money, dude. And look, it is similar to what Jonathan Grenard just got from the Minnesota Vikings and leaving Houston. He signed a 4-year, $76 million deal, so it's a little bit less. But Bryce Huff, and this is what pisses me off. I understand the salary cap, but I got a guy sitting next to me who's been telling me for weeks the salary cap is fungible.
It is.
I don't even know what fungible means.
That means you could take some money from somewhere else and put it on this year's cap, like restructuring guys. But the Jets apparently didn't want to do that.
Why?
Look, we knew this with Daniel Hunter.
Bryce Huff.
Well, Bryce Huff, not Daniel Hunter, but with Bryce Huff, that guys like Daniel Hunter were going to set the market higher for the free agents than the Jets were willing to go for a guy.
Okay, but here's the problem.
Who wasn't thought of as one of their forward, you know, producing players years down the line.
But
this is why they drafted so many edge rushers, because they didn't think they had enough of them. Instead, Bryce shows up and has a, put this in quotes, contract year. Unfortunately, it was with the wrong team.
Well, the problem is, he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's been in the league for 4 years. He's had to earn every ounce of playing time he's had over those 4 years as it's grown over the last few years to the point where in 2023, he did something that Jet players never do. He sacked a quarterback 10 times. So you could sit here and tell me, and you're right. I'm not, like, mad at you. Yeah. You're just being the messenger.
Right.
Well, here's why it doesn't make sense, Evan. They drafted this and this, and their defense is their strength, and that's why they drafted this kid. That's why they did that. Bottom line is you spend 4 years developing somebody to watch them leave.
Yeah, you hate losing players that you developed. And actually, it's worse when they surprise you. Right, it's one thing to draft a guy in the first round, Jalen Johnson. Right?
Right,
you draft that kid, and 3 years from now, let's say he has 12 sacks, and he's one of the most sought after free agents. You sign him because you're like, dude, this is what we thought when we drafted him.
Right,
when Bryce Huff came into this, he was a bit player. Right, he was a situational pass rusher, not even pass rusher. He was a depth situational player, and then he turned into a guy who just week over week earned every down responsibilities, and he surprised you. So to lose him sucks, but we all know why. And it's because they've just drafted edges for the last couple of years.
Yeah, but
their
if the salary
has been a big part of
but
it.
If the salary cap is fungible, which means it means nothing,
yeah, but you
then
can't
you
spend,
sign him
yeah,
and you find
I,
a way.
I understand that, but you can't spend and just you can't spend over, spend over, spend over, spend.
When is Joe Douglas overspent? That's part of the problem.
No. I'm saying for the position. Like you can't push.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You can't push the spend on the edge to, let's say, 20% of the cap. You
right.
just can't do it. And I think that's the constraint that they're working with.
The problem I have with Joe Douglas, and there'll be a lot of Jets and Giants spread throughout today as these moves come in, but Joe Douglas, since the moment he's gotten here, has kind of preached patience, not being too aggressive,
right.
and not spending dumbly. Well, guess what? And you tell me where I'm wrong here. If there's ever a moment to spend dumbly, if there's ever a moment to get the pocketbook out, if there's ever a moment to say, hey, I got to be aggressive, now is the moment. Now is the time. Jonah Jackson is a guard for the Detroit Lions. He just signed with the LA Rams. He was a guy the Giants were interested in. He's mm-hmm. a guy the Jets should be interested in because
yes.
the Jets need to go for it now. This is no longer, and I get the Giants are doing this, the Giants are going to preach patience. They're going to preach being smart. They got their mouthpiece, Sean Morash, itching to turn the mic on to defend everything the Giants are going to do over the next 48 hours.
How you doing?
The Jets are not in position to do that.
No.
The Jets are in position to win at all costs. And when you watch what the Rams have done the last couple of years, and you watch what other aggressive teams have done the last couple of years, don't tell me and don't preach to me, well, we got to be prudent. We got to be smart. It's 2:11.
Yeah.
It's been 2 hours. The time to be smart, that was 2 years ago. That was 3 years ago. The time is done. The time now is to be aggressive and try to win.
Yeah. No, we've shifted to the Jets because of the Bryce Huff deal. But when I think about plans, like, what is your plan? Do you have an idea of what you're doing going forward? And it feels like what you're espousing here, Evan, is the Jets can't get caught in two plans, right? One plan can't be, well, let's just keep developing. You know, we have this, we have some depth players. We have some good, you know, guys that are ascending, the Breece Halls of the world, the Garrett Wilsons, et cetera. We have those young guys. So they're going to be with us for the next couple of years, but we also need to win now.
Yes.
Right? You can't play to both masters. You can't do it. It's not going to work. You get caught in the middle and things tend to fall apart without like a concrete plan. The Jets need to commit to being viable now.
Yes.
Like winning now.
Yes.
And yeah, it might hurt them in the future, 3 or 4 years from now, but it's worth it.
Of course.
Like,
because what is the future?
You get a chance to win a championship.
Yes.
Right? Or at least put yourself in position to try to win a championship. And there's no guarantee that you are. But when you look at what, let's say, the Rams did, they fully committed to trying to win a championship. And it was sacrifice after future sacrifice after future sacrifice after future sacrifice. And eventually, it paid off. They got there, lost, got there, and they won.
The commitment, like, the plan I have is this. I want them to spend and be aggressive to try to win a championship right now. And they've got to use most of their assets to improve their offense.
Yes.
Where it's difficult with Bryce Huff is the fact that we sat here for 4 years watching him develop.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching a kid become a star. We don't know what Will McDonald's going to be because the opportunity hasn't been given to him fully yet. So it's just frustrating as a fan, and this is part of the crappy part of NFL free agency, to watch a player that you're developing who's young, who's had a breakthrough year last year, simply leave. But the Jets need to be aggressive. We're 2 hours in. We haven't seen that. Back to the Giants real quick, and we'll get to all of your phone calls on both teams. A lot on Gerrit Cole as well. There's a lot going on. Saquon Barkley, in the next hour or two, may officially become a Philadelphia Eagle. You, I thought, did a marvelous job last week eloquently stating what that would do for his legacy around here. I have heard some Giant fans, including one on the other side, that has actually said, I hope he goes to Philadelphia because, well, honestly, I don't know why you would say that, Sean.
Because...
So explain to all of us why you as a Giant fan, who a week ago was saying you can't lose Saquon, now all of a sudden wants to call him an Uber so he can go live in Philadelphia.
I want to make this very clear. If we're talking about $9 million a year, do I think the Giants should invest in Saquon Barkley? Yes. But in my opinion, if Saquon Barkley is going to get a deal that the Giants are not willing to match, I think it's a no-brainer for the Giants to let him walk. Should they have traded him? No problem. And if a team is going to afford $10 million on the cap, let's say, the next 2 years, I deem that to be a mistake towards Saquon Barkley, oft injured. And if anybody's going to make that mistake, I want it to be a team that rarely does, the Philadelphia Eagles. I'd rather see a rival make the mistake with a deal like that to Saquon than a team like the Texans.
Hmm. Now, would you agree, Tiki, that what we call that is coping?
It won't. I mean,
coping.
Yeah. It's
coping.
It's coping verbiage, but it doesn't do anything to fix the hole that Saquon leaves when he's not here.
Well, no, here's the thing. I don't think losing Saquon necessarily hurts the Giants' long-term vision and plan.
Probably not, but it hurts the immediate vision and plan.
Sure.
Which honestly, what is it? I think this is why I think the Giants are okay if he leaves. Because the short-term plan is still culture build. Let's find our quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's build our core.
Get a number one wide receiver.
Right. Get some more skilled position players that can go around whoever that quarterback may be. Now, they've missed on some of these things, right? The core is not, I mean, it's very, very incomplete. The quarterback, they completely missed on the deal that they tried to do with Daniel Jones and hoped that it would pan out. And so the plan is kind of roughshod. I think they have one. I just think it's roughshod right now.
Yeah, well, of course, you got to hit on these draft picks, and this is going to be a massive draft for Joe Shane. But ultimately, if you keep talking about mistakes, maybe it was a mistake to pay Daniel Jones like that. I think it's a mistake to go double digits in average annual value for a running back entering his seventh year.
Here's what I don't...
I'd rather division rival make that mistake.
Here's what I don't understand about you, okay? What you just witnessed in the last 10 minutes, and I'll admit this, because Tiki sat next to me and very rationally explained the Bryce Huff situation and why, look, as much as this sucks, you got to understand why the Jets couldn't do it.
Right.
I reacted like a fan. I reacted like a Jet fan who watched an undrafted player over the last 4 years start to make an impact and have a 10-sack year and be a guy that in an ideal world I would want to keep around. Now, as time goes by, maybe in the next hour, I'm going to say, hey, this sucks, but I get it. This sucks, but I understand. Every asset, every thought needs to be fixing this offense. But as a fan, as a human being, I'm annoyed. I'm disappointed. Not devastated, but I'm pissed that Bryce Huff isn't a Jet. You, Sean Morash, are a psychedelic Giant fan.
Yes.
You're a crazy sports fan. You're sitting there with your Ranger sweater today. You have had breakdowns and excitements, good and bad, about the New York Giants. On this day, March 11th, 2024, a mere 2,146 days after Dave Gettleman made the decision to draft Saquon Barkley.
Good math.
Saquon Barkley is on the verge of not just leaving the Giants, which I think in its own right sucks, but signing with a team that you freaking hate. And you know as well as I do, as well as Tiki does, that for the next 2 years, cat be damned, he's going to stick it up your ass. And you know it. And I know it. And every single person listening right now knows that.
Dude.
They know deep down that Saquon Barkley, and you can take all the shots you want, will go to Philadelphia and he will beat you. And they've been beating you forever without Saquon Barkley. So what I'm wondering about is how at 217 on Free Agent Monday are you so freaking calm to say, well, you know, I crunched the cap numbers and I hope he goes there because this... Dude, you're a human. You're a Giant fan.
Doesn't hurt
me. I'm annoyed Bryce Huff's going to the Eagles.
Evan, I would be more annoyed if a pass rusher that we groomed undrafted went. Saquon Barkley, I like as a person.
Just
I like
face
as a
it,
player.
You're done with him. You're done with
him. I'm done with him. And I honestly,
just say it.
I am done with Saquon Barkley, and I think the faster the Giants rid themselves of Saquon Barkley, the faster we could just move on with this new regime. And ultimately, it could be Saquon Barkley, it could be any running back this day and age, 7 years into the league who gets injured every single year. Ultimately, whether we like him and the good moments have been good or not, it is a mistake to pay them long-term double digits per year, and I want the Eagles to make that mistake. And as far as, oh, but he's going to, you know, stick it up the Giants, you know what? Guess what? Every time we play the Eagles, it's Boston Scott. It's Miles Sanders. It's Kenneth Gainwell. Insert
doesn't
running back
matter,
here.
It doesn't matter.
They're going to stick it anyway.
Yeah, but think how bad it's going to be when it's Saquon.
But why? Why is that going to be bad?
Because it's going. He's better. He's better than
you know
Miles
what?
Sanders.
There's a good chance.
He's better than DeAndre Swift.
Fine.
He's better than all those guys. And so instead of it being, I mean,
so
I guess
what?
I
now
can't
instead,
say it's even
instead
more
of losing,
blowout, but still.
Instead of losing 35-17, and we lose 42-17 to the Eagles, the end result is still the same. And there's a higher chance than not Saquon Barkley's going to miss one of those games versus the Giants because he's hurt every year.
Are you better than Met fans? Because when Met fans had mixed emotions about DeGrom, knowing, hey, this contract may be bad, he's always hurt, similar to some of the things you're saying right now. You know what every Met fan said in unison? Every single one of them.
In unison?
In unison. Okay.
Unison.
In unison, yeah.
Unison.
You know what they all said?
What?
He better not go to the Braves. And
that doesn't matter.
No, it don't. I don't get what your brain is telling you. If he goes to the Texans, fine. It's the Eagles. And you're acting as a diehard fan like, oh, whatever. If he rushes for three touchdowns against us week seven, it doesn't matter. We're going to lose anyway. Not a single Met fan would have thought that about DeGrom going to Atlanta. And guess what? They kick our ass
Dude,
all the time.
I hate to break this to you.
We're lesser than you. Just say it.
No, you're not. Breaking news, and I'm sorry that I'm not a 14-year-old Giant fan. Saquon Barkley ain't to the Giants what Jacob DeGrom was to the Mets.
Okay, but a week ago, you wanted the guy back.
I did, based on everything Joe Shane was saying, and also based on the fact that they did not trade him. When they should, or at least entertain trade calls. For all of those reasons, I did want him back.
You thought he was important to what they were trying to build.
Exactly.
Here. And it's become clear that he's not a part of the future plan.
He's not a part of it. And look, we could talk about the cap being fungible and all of that stuff. Ultimately, look at the Jets. They couldn't afford to keep Bryce Huff. At some point, you have to make roster decisions, no matter how much you play with the cap or not. For the Giants to make a double-digit investment per year to Saquon Barkley would be an enormous mistake for where this team is at. And guess what? I think Saquon's magically now not going to miss games by going to the Eagles. His track record tells me he will. And that tells me this is going to be a massive mistake for whoever signs him. And whoever signs him, I would rather that mistake go to a team that I hate.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the first 20 minutes of the show, you heard two different kinds of coping from dumb fans. You heard me getting emotional about losing Bryce Huff. Even if I know business-wise, it doesn't make sense. On the other side, you heard the coping rationalization from a Giant fan about why, I love Saquon. Yeah, a week ago I wanted him back. But now I'll drive him down to Philly. We'll get your thoughts on everything. What the Jets are going to do, what they haven't done. What the Giants are going to do, what the Giants haven't done yet in the first 2 hours. And the future of Saquon Barkley. 877-337-6666. We'll... Just 2.5 hours in the NFL free agency. The moves are rapid fire. Meanwhile, Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery have still not signed from the last baseball offseason. But the latest is that Kirk Cousins is indeed leaving the Minnesota Vikings to sign a 4-year contract.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago because when Raheem Morris got there, I mean, we heard what he said. He basically said if they had a better quarterback or a good quarterback, he wouldn't be in this job. Mm. The reason that they were subpar a year ago was because the quarterback play was so bad. And the best quarterback on the market is Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And he's good. We don't know if he's a championship quarterback yet, but he is a good player. And I think he's going to elevate this team down in Atlanta because they have so much talent.
Yeah.
And they just need someone to lead it.
If Kirk Cousins was their quarterback last year and he was healthy, because remember, he did have the torn Achilles, we're talking about a very, very different outcome for the Atlanta Falcons. So obviously, there's great impact of that move. What happens in Minnesota now? Are they more open to trading Justin Jefferson? We'll get into that as the show rolls on. We'll get to your calls in a minute. But earlier this morning, there was a giant cloud that formed over Major League Baseball in New York City, and that was the idea that Gerrit Cole, who without a shadow of a doubt has been the most reliable pitcher in baseball over the last 5 years, needs an MRI for his elbow. And you hear that, and your heart sinks if you're a Yankee fan or even a baseball fan, because there are few starting pitchers that go out there and take the ball every 5 days and pitch like an ace as consistently as Gerrit Cole. And the thing that ruins the great pitcher are these kinds of injuries. Now, here's what we know. What we know is nothing. What we know...
We're not going to know anything anytime soon.
That's the other thing we know. We know that he's getting an MRI. We know that we're not getting an update today. So, Yankee fans, I know that there's a lot of nerves right now, and there should be. We're not going to get an answer today. According to Aaron Boone, we may not even get an answer on Tuesday. The club will seek many opinions, and they're going to find out, is there something wrong? This came because Gerrit Cole, who made one spring training start back on the 1st of March, his next start in spring training occurred on a backfield, which was not a warning sign by any stretch. It was just, all right, he doesn't want to make a start in a spring training game, no big deal. He'll make it on a backfield. Right. It happens.
I don't remember how his start went. Was it fine?
No, he got hit hard.
Right.
But so I would be the first to tell you that's, I wouldn't look at that as a warning sign, no. Like, I didn't think it, because I remember when he did that on March 1st, it was like, that's
someone
his first
told me Vogelbach hit a home run off of him. That's a warning sign.
If that was such a warning sign, why don't you say anything then, Sean?
Because I didn't think of it as a warning sign until now.
It's in retrospect, it's a warning sign.
Yeah, but the Yankees, so Boone has said, because Cole hasn't met the media, what Boone said was, they didn't notice a dip in velocity. They didn't notice a dip in stuff. He's looked great during bullpens. It was Gerrit Cole saying that during the recovery time, it had felt like it was the middle of the season and he had just thrown 110 pitches as compared to a bullpen session.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how that happens, because you've heard this mid-spring, I don't know, wear and tear that was tossed around for Aaron Judge, but it also feels like that's kind of what they're alluding to with Gerrit Cole. And, I mean, it's troubling because it tells you that the offseason didn't go as planned, or maybe it was a new something that they were doing this offseason that caused a different level of stress. He's been mostly healthy for his career.
The one injury he had with the Yankees, if memory serves correct, was a hamstring issue.
Right.
And he didn't miss that much time. He has been the biggest compliment I can give on Cole, and there's a lot of positive things I can say about him, is durability. Is the fact he takes the baseball every 5 days, so he has not had a history of elbow issues or shoulder issues or anything of that nature. There is a chance that this MRI is going to come back clean. That's why the Yankee fans got to take a deep breath.
Right.
I know that there's this kind of view to jump to the worst possible scenario. I get that. Well, I've done that as a fan.
Elbow MRIs don't usually come back. It's nothing.
Well,
the fact that you have to get an elbow MRI tells you that it's a lot more than just nothing.
Well, but what it tells you is that Gerrit Cole knows his body and wanted to call a timeout and get things checked out before just pitching through it, which sometimes guys do. Sometimes guys say, well, I'm not recovering like I used to, but my stuff is there. I feel good. Keep going.
Right.
And then it becomes worse.
And the fact that he just won a Cy Young, he kind of doesn't have to prove right? He doesn't have to prove himself. I'm tough. I can fight through. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. He doesn't have to do that right now.
He's already proven that to
us. He's already proven it. So we know his value to this team. It's just a matter of being healthy for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and even when an MRI in the elbow was nothing, it's still something to some regard because they're not going to fool around. And I think we can all say he's not pitching opening day.
Correct. I mean, that's you're totally right about that. Even, hey, we're going to push him back and rest him for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, in pitcher world, that's a month. That's right. Just the way it is, because if you're not pitching for 2 or 3 weeks, then you pick up a ball again and everything goes well. You're building yourself up again. You're throwing bullpens. Now you got to get into a game. I think if you're a Yankee fan, as you get through these next 48 hours of nerves, and I've said this before about my guys getting hurt, if he gets a clean bill of health in which he's back on a Yankee Stadium mound by May, you sign for that.
Right.
I don't think you overthink this more than that. Just make sure he's coming back relatively soon.
Like when you say May, it sounds so long.
I get it.
May sounds like it's only a month and a half or almost 2 months now, but it just feels so long from now.
You want me to make it feel better? Let's say it's May 1st. That's five starts. It's five games.
It's nothing.
All right.
I know it's nothing, but it sounds like a long way away, especially with the season starting in March, even though it's the end of March. It just feels like a long way till we get to May.
I get it. More on Gerrit Cole as the show rolls on, including does this cause the Yankees to pick up the phone and be a little bit more aggressive with the remaining free agents? But we get back to the football. It's free agent Monday. The Jets have lost Bryce Huff, and it feels like the Giants are on the verge of losing Saquon Barkley. Josh in Poughkeepsie. Good afternoon, Josh.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
Good.
I don't understand how any Giant fan can sit here and say Saquon going to Philly would not be a bad thing. I mean, the only way anyone's going to throw more money than the Giants are going to throw at him is if they think he's the piece that's going to put them over the top.
Well, I got to tell you, he might be in Philadelphia. He might be that stabilizing piece that puts them over the top, because we know what their issues were. It felt like it was culture, locker room. There was not a lot of cohesion, and Saquon is as good of a dude as there is in the league, and he is also going to produce and work his ass off. So, I mean, he could be that for the Eagles, to be honest with you.
And I don't know if you guys heard the report. I didn't hear who it was, but Sal and BT said that they were talking about going at least $12 million plus.
Right. I mean, about 3 months ago, after Jonathan Taylor signed his long-term extension, and I say long, it's relative, because it was only 3 years and it was $42 million. To me, that reset the upper end of the running back market. Nobody's going to get the Christian McCaffrey 16. Nobody's going to get the Zeke or Alvin Kamara $15 million a year. But around that $14 million a year is the upper end. That's like the top of the top.
Yeah.
And those are young players who signed contracts early. Saquon is not young, but he is at the top of that free agent market. So to me, it felt like 3 years, 39. Only maybe 25 of that guaranteed. So it's like 12 and a half per year that's really guaranteed. Maybe even a little bit less than that, 22 guaranteed. But he's going to get a deal that's closer to 12, 13 than what some of these other guys are currently signing, which is eight to nine, and only like five or six of it is guaranteed
per
season.
That's what we've seen from the first three running backs off the board. Now, the report he's talking about is Connor Hughes, who said there's rumblings the Eagles are willing to go north of $12 million annually for Saquon. The Texans appear to be at $11 million.
Yes.
Which leads to a very simple follow-up question. And this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. This is like Friday night quarterbacking. When the salary cap figure comes out, and we know what the cap number is going to be for Saquon Barkley, and we know what this free agency is going to look like, we know who's out there. I remember saying to you, look, Saquon's still going to get more money than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though there's a lot of backs out there,
right,
Saquon's still going to get the most.
Right.
Why didn't the Giants, why didn't Joe Shane franchise tag Saquon Barkley? Why? You could have tagged him on the tag at about $12 million, a little bit less than that.
Right.
And then, I hate to use the analogy of holding a gun to his head because I don't like it, but you could say to him, either you sign the tag or here's 3 years, $30 million. Pick what you want to do.
Right, but the problem with signing the tag is that there's no value in the tag because nobody's going to take Saquon and give you two first-round draft
picks. No, I'm keeping Saquon.
Right, but now you don't want to pay him $12.5 million, but you're going to pay him now $12.5 million, and it's just a one-year deal. It's not spread out over the length of the deal, and you can't funge that, right? It's just flat on the cap, whatever the tag number would be. And so it doesn't make sense to keep doing that for any player, even though
in theory you could. But my
I think the plan for the Giants is, first of all, it was I said it before, the culture has to get right. I think Dave's done a good job of doing that. Then they got to find their quarterback. It's why you're hearing all of this noise around the draft and free agency, and it's why they've had an exploratory meeting with Russell Wilson, even though he ended up signing with Pittsburgh. They have to get their quarterback situation right. And then next on the list, I think, is core, right? You got to build that ass, man. Give me these offensive linemen. Find these guys in free agency. Find them in the draft if you have to. And then you get to the skill position players. Like, it's fourth on the list. And they have a couple of good ones, Jalen Hyatt, Wandell Robinson. They're likely to draft another one, in this upcoming draft. But Saquon is lower on that list.
They should have traded him.
But as a result, you're not going to throw the money at him. But trading does what? It gets you a fourth rounder, what? a third rounder?
They would have done better than that. Look at the free agent market for him.
Do you really think that a third or second rounder is going for Saquon Barkley? Running backs, all we've talked about is how disrespected the running back
and
is.
And now look what's happening in his free agency. Right. The Eagles moving off for more than 12 million.
Look at free agency.
Yeah.
The salary cap has risen significantly, 12% year over year from a year ago. Every single important position is escalating in AAV. Running backs' numbers are going down. We're talking about at what one point was a marquee position in the NFL. These guys are going to be making as much as I was making. I've been retired for 18 freaking years.
I'm just telling you, it's going the wrong way. I know, and but so you're teams, seeing the interest
but,
in him.
But here's the thing. Teams are not going to continually do this. He might be the anomaly.
Well, you have the anomaly,
though. Of this year's draft.
But that's my point.
But I don't think it's worth it to them. I'm just telling you, it's just not worth it.
So what did they do? What did the Giants do? Think about what this whole
thing. Anything yet.
No, but think about what's going to happen. They don't trade him because they're probably not getting more than a fourth round pick. First of all, we don't even know that because they wouldn't list it on offers. So we don't know that. I can sit here and argue all day with you, but the truth is neither of us know.
But I told you what that would have done. It would have destroyed the locker room.
So what do you do now? Then you don't tag him and let him go for nothing.
It's one thing to lose a guy in free agency. It's a complete different thing to lose a guy in the middle of the season because you have no faith in him. Then everybody thinks, oh, dude, I'm next, right? People quit. They quit. And the last thing a second-year coach can have is his team quitting on him. Forget the individuals for right now. The last thing that a coach can have is his team saying, dude, they don't care about us. I'm out, man. Forget this. Whatever. I'll come in a 2 minutes before practice starts. I'll come in 30 seconds before the meeting starts. As soon as this thing's over, I'm out of here. They don't care about us. If they traded Saquon, that's what would have happened. I promise you.
It's a risk. It would have happened. It's a risk, but look what ended up happening, assuming he leaves sometime today. Think about everything we've witnessed over the last few months. Was it really worth it? Like, you're making a point of, come on, it would ruin the locker room.
To them, it was.
Well, do you think it was?
Yes.
Do you think it was, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, you think it was because of the locker room.
Because you have to control your culture.
Do you think it was?
It's everywhere. You have a bad culture, stuff goes downhill.
I got you.
Really quickly.
Do you think it was mouthpiece for John Mara?
I hope we have Saquon breaking news.
Oh, well, good. Let's find out.
Okay, here it is from Schefter. Saquon Barkley and the Eagles have a 3-year, $37.75 million contract. It could be worth up to $46.75 million.
There you go.
$26 million guaranteed.
So he got more money than the franchise tag.
And Saquon has already taken to Twitter himself to say thank you to everyone who's shown me love and support over the past 6 years. Forever grateful. Excited for the next chapter. Blue heart emoji. Peace.
Okay. Right. Blue heart emoji.
He's dead to us now.
Yeah, say it.
He's dead to us.
Because he won't say it.
You're dead to us, Saquon.
He's long dead to me. By the way, Philly, enjoy the 9 games he'll play next year.
You wanted him back a week ago. Now you're mocking he's only going to play 9 games?
9 games next year. Enjoy, Philly. Enjoy.
Now, where's your vitriol towards Joe Schoen? Or do you not have any?
I do, because I totally disagree with Tiki. Because you know what? If they called around and they got a third-round pick, you know what that third-round pick this year could have become? Devon Achane. That's exactly how you replace the running back position.
Yeah, I mean,
they traded Leonard Williams. The culture was fine.
Pump the brakes on Devon Achane, because the kid is 180 pounds. He's Tony Dorsett from the 1980s. If he stays healthy for more than 3 years, I will be shocked.
Okay.
He's a blazer. I get it. He's exciting as hell. He is not an every down player.
So take away that exact name. My point is
be careful the names you throw out there because people are going to start repeating you like, oh, look at Devon Achane. But he's not that player.
Can we all agree in the devaluing era of the running back that the guys, the reason they're devalued is either by committees or because of hitting mid to late round picks, even if it's a second round pick like a Breece Hall? Like, that is why the running back position is being devalued. And to me, more than any other position, if I could get a call around and the season's lost and I get a dart on a third or fourth rounder, I'll throw that dart at a running back and hope I start putting together a
good committee. So your anger is that Shane should have traded him back in October.
And by the way, saying he should have traded him and saying they should have picked up the phone and at least accept the calls are two different things. And pick up the calls. And as far, and look, Tiki's been in locker rooms way more than I would have been, so I don't doubt that there would have been some guys that would have lost a lot. No doubt about it. But in the end, is that where I kind of want to find out about my room, too, and who really wants to be here and who doesn't? Because they already showed Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas they're willing to pay their high-end talent.
I think the Giants have effed this up on so many levels. I'm sorry. Yeah. I respect what you're saying about the locker room, but if Brian Daboll's that good of a damn head coach, he's not going to lose his locker room. That's number one. Number two, take a phone call. Take a phone call.
But why?
Because we don't know what a team would have offered. And by the way, if a team does offer a second-round pick, and maybe we're wrong, or a third-round pick, the likelihood is when you make that trade, Saquon stays with that team.
Are you not listening to me?
I am listening to you.
Are you not listening to what I'm describing to you?
About the market?
A second-year head coach
has a
locker room quit on him because their captain, one of their team leaders, one of the hardest-working players on the team, is no longer there in the middle of the season. Week 9, week 10, if that happens, do you think a second-year coach who's having a failing second-year season is going to survive that? The answer is no. I know you guys have never been in locker rooms. I know you don't know how emotions work amongst highly paid, very aggressive, emotionally laden men, right? I know you don't understand this. But if Saquon Barkley gets traded in the middle of the season, so I don't want to hear this anymore because it's mind-numbing to me. If they trade him in the middle of the season goes to crap.
It was already to crap.
No, it goes to crap. It was crap on the field because they were poorly coached on the offensive line. Half those guys sucked up front, and they couldn't get anything cohesive happening defensively, right? That's why the season went to crap. And their quarterbacks got the crap beat out of them and to the point where Daniel Jones was done for the season with a torn ACL after breaking his damn neck or whatever the heck happened with his neck. So, yes, you can blame it on a lot of different things. Injuries are the reason that the Giants were bad last year. If you would have killed Saquon Barkley and got rid of him, that locker room falls completely apart.
Does that say something about the locker room?
No. Dave's been here for a year. How long it took Tom Coughlin to get the locker room right? 3 years. Three seasons, and that's turning guys over. All right, that guy, he's going to work his ass off. That guy, maybe not so much. Yeah, we got to move on from that. Yep, we got to replace that guy. It takes time, and I think we want to, microwave everything. We want Joe Shane to make every right deal because it feels right to us, but it's not right for them. It's not right for that locker room. And I promise you that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have had this conversation about Saquon Barkley. They contemplated, I'm sure. Should we trade him? Should we try to go get something?
Not enough to take a phone call.
Right, but at the end of the day, it didn't make sense for the locker room right now.
Let me ask you this, though.
I know you guys wanted to look forward. Oh, they only got 2 wins on the season. Oh, 3 wins on the season. Let's just look forward to 2024.
No, I was looking forward to this moment.
For 2024, let's look forward. You can't do that, man. You got to live and play and coach and executive in the moment.
Okay,
and
let me ask you a question about that.
If they would have traded Saquon Barkley, that locker room would have fallen apart.
Was there a price tag where it would have been worth it?
No.
Not anything?
No.
A team calls up with a first-round pick and you say it's not worth it.
It would not have been a first-round pick. Evan, you got to stop doing this, please. I beg of you, please, stop saying they could have gotten a first-rounder. They could have gotten a second-rounder. They could have gotten...
We don't know what they could have gotten.
Going for that. Tell me the running back that got traded for a first-rounder. Not even a second-rounder.
Christian McCaffrey got a lot back. It wasn't a first.
He's an outlier.
No, but when you don't take a phone call, you don't know the answer.
He is the outlier.
And by the way, my question wasn't they were going to get a first. Listen to me on this. I'm not suggesting that. I'm asking you, and I think there's an interesting response from you because of the locker room thing you bring up, which I admit, I have no freaking idea.
Right.
Would there ever be a return that would make it worth it?
No, not last year.
Huh.
Brian Daboll had been there for 4 years, 3 or 4 years, established, we have faith, complete trust in him, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? We can get rid of that guy because we trust that he knows the plan, that the plan is right. I think they're still formulating it. And so to undercut it by getting rid of your best player and your captain in the middle of the season, there's no way. Absolutely no way that made any sense. And so stop saying it, please, because it frustrates me. It's frustrating.
Okay, I won't say it. Sean, you want to go say it again?
Please don't say it,
because I'm done saying it.
Because I'm turning your mic off and taking your giant card away if you do.
I'm done. I am now moving forward no matter what.
Wait, well, hold on. I got one more critique then. All right? Because now I'm going to fight both of you guys on this one. He is about to get paid from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. This pisses me off more than anything.
What I'm about to say?
No, that the fact that he's going to get paid by the Philadelphia Eagles.
He is getting paid by the Philadelphia Eagles, in which his average per year salary will be at $15.83 million, which will make him the second highest paid running back in the history of the with incentives.
That's
absolutely
with incentives. That's not guaranteed.
He's getting $26 million fully guaranteed.
Look at the guarantee. That's the most important number.
But he has the potential to make $15.83 million.
Right. Potential means nothing.
But he could also make it.
I know, but it means nothing.
If they had tagged him, and I want to make this very, very clear. Right. It's not with the intention of he's going to play on the tag. I get the negative of having him play on the tag.
Right.
But with the idea of, I've just cut off all his leverage. He can't negotiate with Philly. He can't negotiate with Houston. He's either going to be a Giant on a tag number I don't love, or he's going to finally meet me in the middle and we're going to make a long-term contract. Why not do that? They did it the year before. Why not do that? That's my second critique.
Because until he had a free market. And by the way, it was only one team. It was one team that was going that high.
Houston was at least bidding, though.
They were bidding the franchise number. They were bidding what his franchise number was. There was one team that was willing to do that. So they had the Giants didn't know that. How the hell did the Giants know what any other team is going to bid? How do they know what they want to bid on Saquon
Barkley? Risk of free agency.
Of course it is. And they played their risk, and they lost because Saquon got an offer that was better than the one that the Giants were going to give him. And I'm interested to see how this deal works out, meaning numbers-wise.
Down to. What now?
Everybody on their feet. The Giants have signed an offensive lineman.
Oh, nice.
Woo-hoo! They have given a three-year, $30 million deal with $17 million guaranteed, not to Saquon Barkley, but to John Runyon. Gone, wow. Green Bay Packers, son of the former John Runyon.
Right. That's right.
So it's time, baby. Our guaranteed money not going to running backs, going to old linemen. Celebrate, everybody.
I like that.
The Giants are back.
I love that.
Look, I can't hate on that move. Fine.
No,
you
got to
build your offensive line. You got to build your ass first, a wise man once told
me. Our ass is getting built.
Now, besides your anger at me, Tiki, which I totally understand.
I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at people who think that the Giants should have traded him last year.
I'm not going to say that again.
You just can't do it.
With that said, taking away your anger at me and anyone else who has that opinion, what do you got to say to Saquon? You had a message for him about 5 days ago. Now he's an Eagle.
I already said it.
You're dead to me?
Good luck. You're dead to me.
Short and sweet.
By the way, not the first time. Steve Smith was dead to us before 2011 when he left for Philly. Mm-hmm. And a little-known guy named Victor Cruz stepped up. So whether it's Eric Gray or somebody else behind the new ass we're building, see you, Saquon. Enjoy those overrated cheesesteaks.
I appreciate your coping mechanism. Mm. Your coping mechanism is everything is okay.
Right.
Everything's a part of the plan. Now, as emotional as Tiki was and as much sense as he made, and I do agree you made some sense, even if I'm fighting you tooth and nail, you still got to be pissed off, Sean. They didn't trade him. They didn't tag him. And the career Giant is no longer.
Yeah, no, look, there's going to be a day in July where Tiki's over me and you could really debate this.
Right.
Kidding aside.
These two things sound mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to franchise him and they didn't want to change
it. You know what it sounds like to me, deep down truly? It sounds like to me Joe Shane really was done with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And he didn't know the right way to let the fan base know, the fan base that did love Saquon Barkley, I'm done with him. So the best way to get the fan base to rally behind you is have your arch rival be the one to overpay him and make everybody turn on Saquon. And I think that's the best bet.
In that regard, you are correct, Saquon.
The Giants have a million holes to fill. Running back clearly is still going to be another one. But this is for the best for the Giants. Unfortunately for Saquon, he was drafted in a position we all know and argue at that we have been arguing for 6 years, and that era is finally over. We can put this past us.
Now that's coping Giant fan Sean Morash. Here's Tommy Lugauer as a Giant fan.
So I want to lighten the mood a little bit here with Tiki. I just want to ask him a question. I understand you didn't want the Giants to trade any picks for Saquon. What if a team called up, offered a year subscription to a spa? Maybe a charcuterie board, maybe a foot rub. Would that have been a little bit more accessible?
All right. That
is that
worked.
A little bit more fair?
That would have worked.
By the way, they should have traded him.
Couldn't. I know what you're saying, and you're probably right, but they couldn't. Do you understand why I'm saying they couldn't?
Let me flip it to you this
way. That's all I care about. Do you understand why I'm saying they couldn't?
I understand why you're saying that. I'm looking at it from this perspective. I think a lot of Giant fans are going to hate on Saquon now for going to the rival, but the reality is the Giants opened the door for Saquon to go to the rival. Joe Shane allowed this to happen on his watch.
Just like the New York Mets allowed Jacob DeGrom to go to Texas.
Yeah, but Texas is not the Eagles. If he went to the Phillies,
yes,
we would be mad.
No,
at
you're right. You're right. Right. You're right. But he left. I remember saying it at the time. It's a masterclass on letting a guy you love leave. The Giants didn't quite do it that well. But the Giants, let's be fair, I don't know if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll love Saquon Barkley. Right? He's not theirs. They had him for 2 years, one of which he was hurt for 3 games.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know if he loves Saquon Barkley. So it's just a different calculation. But he clearly was lower down the totem pole in their plan. I don't know exactly what their plan is, but if I was a Giants, I know what my plan would be. And they've started to do that.
Well, I give them credit because they added an offensive lineman, a guy in the prime of his career, and John Runyon Jr. is only 26 years old.
Yep.
And here's the most valuable thing I like to look at when a team adds an offensive lineman. The same thing I hope to look at when Joe Douglas wakes up from his nap and adds offensive lineman as well. And that is, do you play football? Do you actually go out there and play every single week? And what you notice about John Runyon 4 years into his NFL career is this. 16 games, 17 games, 17 games, and 17 games.
Right.
And so the most important attribute on John Runyon, even though he hasn't been a pro bowler, and I haven't checked out his pro football focus numbers, but here's what I do know, and this is damn important. Will you play?
And the answer is yes.
And so far in this man's NFL career, as the Giants make a move after losing Saquon Barkley, John Runyon Jr. plays. Very quick break. We come right back. Want to get the reaction. Saquon Barkley is now a member of the enemy. He's a Philadelphia Eagle. It's done. 877-337-6666. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And all Giant fans are more than welcome to call up WFAN and tell Tiki Barber loudly and proudly,
they should have traded Saquon Barkley at the trade deadline.
Tiki, you were right.
Go kiss ass.
You've been in a locker room before.
Yes. Yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.